Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Rock the Dragon, a Dragon Ball Super Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Bridgewater. Of course, I hosted two other podcasts before this one. One called Republic City Report, which was a Legend of Korra podcast, and also Geekly Dose, where we just talked about everything geek. So if you happen to be interested in either of those two topics, you can go check out those podcasts. They are kind of old now, but they're still relevant if you're just getting into Legend of Korra. On iTunes and Stitcher.com, I mention this from time to time. If you happen to be someone who's just stumbled upon those podcasts, on iTunes, they look like they're brand new podcasts, okay? Because there aren't any reviews. If they are, they're very new. Because at one point in time, I ran into an issue where those podcasts were deleted. Not intentionally, as far as we know, but they did disappear for a while and we lost all the reviews and the ratings and all that kind of stuff. So they're going to look like they're brand new, but they're not. And if you happen to be someone who's listening to them now and happens to be enjoying what you're listening to and you want to leave me a review now for those, that's still 100% cool. And while you're there, hey, you might as well leave Rock the Dragon a review, right? Because you obviously like this one because you keep coming back every week, even though obviously I'm late once again. I kind of talked about it last week. I just moved into a brand new place, so I'm still trying to get everything set up and ready to go. Been really busy. So, sorry about that, but a late episode is better than none, right? Also, if you want to contact me, you have any questions, comments, anything you'd like to say or ask about Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super, etc., for our segment called What Are You Saying? Make sure you head over to Rock the Dragon on Facebook, facebook.com/RockTheDragonPodcast. You can also send me an email at RockTheDragonPodcast@gmail.com. Now, with that being said, I don't have any messages or emails for this week. I know it's kind of weird because of the timing and the scheduling of the episodes, so I guess I wasn't really expecting any, but as always, feel free to email me. So with that being said, we're gonna go ahead and just jump straight into the episode talk. Of course, this episode of Rock the Dragon Podcast is going to cover episode 19 of Dragon Ball Super, called Despair Redux: The Return of the Evil Emperor Frieza. All right, well, here it is. Looks like it's time, right? We knew it was coming. We knew. We all heard. We knew that much like the very first saga with Beerus, the first two main sagas of Dragon Ball Super would follow the two movies that were released. Okay, Battle of Gods, that movie, that we just got done with that. The next movie was Resurrection F, where they... Frieza comes back to life. Okay, so now we're finally officially jumping into that saga. Once again, if you saw the movie, a lot of this stuff would be treading the same sort of territory for you, but hopefully they kind of managed to get this in a good sort of a position here, where we can introduce us to some new things. And I think already we've seen some things that we haven't seen. I didn't see in that movie, like this other destroyer god, for instance. So it'd be interesting to see what else comes up that's new. Now, what I really like about the opening, the opening scene of this episode is, I also really liked it when I saw the movie, when I saw Resurrection F, is that, I mean, first of all, it takes us down into, I guess, what is the very bottom layer of hell. You know, I mean, it's just all the way. I mean, we see like several different environments, and then we go underwater, and then we go into this and that, and way under all of that shit is where Frieza is. Okay, so that gives you an idea of the how much evil he caused in his lifetime. But what I like about it is that it appears to be, and I don't know if we had ever seen anything like this before. I mean, we've seen hell before in Dragon Ball Z, but it was always kind of like, I don't know, this weird looking place, and that there was like a river made of blood or something like that. But we didn't really get to see anybody being tortured or anything, because obviously, you know, that might have been a bit much for Dragon Ball Z. So, you know, hell was just kind of this goofy sort of place with Gaz and Maz, the two like horned guys. But what I like here is that Frieza's off somewhere by himself, right? Just sort of in the bowels of hell. But what's cool about it is that his hell is personal to him, right? So I, you know, it's not like he's just down there like burning in fire or something like that. He's tied up in this little cocoon hanging from a tree in this fairy tale whimsical sort of land, where all of these fairies and these little sort of woodland creatures are scampering about and singing songs. So to him, that's his hell. I'd imagine that'd probably be my hell too, but that's beside the point. But I really like that, right? Because it makes it seem like hell can be sort of this personalized sort of a thing, because someone like Frieza might enjoy being tortured and, you know, physically or burning or something. You know what I mean? So it's like, what's the thing that probably makes him the most angry is these cute little woodland fairy-like creatures. So I thought that was funny. I thought that was pretty cool. Now, something else is interesting about the way this episode starts, and you know, it's almost kind of new, I think, for Dragon Ball to do this kind of thing. I don't recall seeing this kind of stuff happen a lot until Dragon Ball Super, where the episode just kind of starts off focused on like the bad guys. You know, like that hasn't happened many times. Like, you know, either the episode will pick up right where the last one left off, okay, which is something we see a lot, or it'll start with, you know, an exterior shot of Goku's house or something like that. But you know, this episode just starts with the bad guys, and we get to jump back into the old Frieza force. They kind of remind us that Frieza's regime never quite disappeared. You know, just because he was killed doesn't mean his entire empire just crumbled all of a sudden. You know, a lot like the Empire in Star Wars, and when Darth Vader died and the Emperor was defeated, the Empire wasn't just automatically gone. You know, they had this far reach, their actions have this far reaching effect over different parts of the universe. It's gonna take a real long time for that stuff to end, especially if you got people that are picking up the pieces left over, sort of like the First Order in Star Wars. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities here. It's not a coincidence, I'm sure. But yeah, so they're saying, hey, you know what? We're losing control. The last little bit of control that we did have on different planets and things like that. So we need to take a drastic measure, and we need to resurrect Frieza. Okay, so this is pretty much where all of this stuff starts. Now it's a little bit fuzzy, at least, you know, to me, how they knew about all this stuff. You know, they have all this detailed information about the Dragon Balls and how Frieza was killed and all that. I mean, you know, it's kind of like no one was there for that, right? I mean, not any of these guys anyway. Everyone that came to Earth with Frieza when he was killed by Trunks should be dead. So I don't know, but they all were scouters, so they obviously get, you know, transferring information back. But so that's the only thing that kind of bugs me about this saga. I mean, about this story, I guess, is that we've seen these characters that we've never seen before. Because, I mean, all of Frieza's main henchmen were killed, right? There was the Doria and Zarbon, and was Kui one of them? I mean, you know, all these people on Namek were pretty much wiped out. So we got now Commander Sorbet, I think his name is. But it's cool. So basically, we just kind of get them just kind of saying, hey, you know what? We can go to the planet. We can go to planet Earth, get the Dragon Balls, and wish Frieza back. And man, I don't know why I for a second almost hoped that when we saw Emperor Pilaf ride off into the sunset, that would be the last time we saw him. I guess I completely forgot that they were also involved in the Frieza storyline, being the ones who actually found the Dragon Ball. But that's just kind of like, at least that gives them more of a purpose, right? Whereas in the previous saga, they were just kind of there, I think, specifically to annoy me. But here it's like, well, they need someone to find the Dragon Balls for them, and they obviously can't go to the good guys. So at least Pilaf serves a purpose there. But I hope they get his ass out of here as quickly as he showed back up. Now, we do get to see Vegeta and Goku training with Whis for a minute. Cool stuff there. Not a lot of developments here. I mean, I think we do learn a couple of things here. For one thing, yes, that is Whis's symbol on their clothes, and apparently he drew it on there really quickly when they were fighting, which was kind of cool. But we do learn a couple things. We learn that And this, and I like this moment because, you know, it really does show that Dragon Ball as a franchise and a series can have some depth to it, you know, because a lot of the stuff is very kind of surface level entertainment, you know. It's very rarely to kind of get deep into these kinds of things, but I like that Whis is making these observations about them based on training with them. For instance, saying that Vegeta is wound so tight, you know, and he's so stubborn, and you know that comes across in his fighting, and he's not as fast as he could be if he loosened up a little bit. So that also tells you something about his personality as well as his physical abilities, you know, that they're being affected by that. And the same thing with Goku is that he's a little bit too open and loose, and that can be a weak spot too, you know, as we find out when when Whis kind of, you know, just jabs him in the gut, which reminds me of being a kid, and you know, and like we sometimes you would just to kind of pick on your friends, you would kind of do that to them. You kind of jab them in the gut and you're like, tighten up, keep those abs contracted so it's not so easy for that to get in there. And I think that's kind of the same point that Whis is trying to make here. So, you know, I think that's cool. I think it's cool that we're learning and they're learning some new things too. Now, we don't get much Vegeta and Goku this episode, okay? So we do go back to Earth for a little bit, just to kind of get a little bit of spectating and things when, you know, something else to show us while Pilaf and everybody is gathering the Dragon Ball. So we get to see Piccolo. Piccolo's babysitting little Pan, which is always funny to see Piccolo doing something like that. I just feel kind of, every now and then I start to feel a little bit bad for Piccolo though, because it's just like, you know, does he just not have a life? Like, what does he do? Does he just follow around Gohan all the time and babysit? I mean, they need to find a woman for Piccolo or something. I mean, I know that Namekians don't really need women necessarily because they reproduce like asexually. So they just kind of like, you know, they just create these eggs themselves and they don't really need like a a mate. They don't have to mate with anyone in order to have kids. But I don't know, man. It's just like I feel bad for Piccolo. It's just like they can't find anything to do with his character now. You know, if they're not fighting, then he's just kind of standing around, you know, which is kind of weird. But hopefully that'll change. But yeah, so basically Pilaf and his annoying ass crew are here to gather the Dragon Balls to make it convenient for the remaining Frieza Force members to basically show up and kind of threaten them and use them to summon the dragon. I gotta say, I kind of like this. I'm looking forward to seeing more from this other. I can't think of his name now because these characters are brand new. So the guy who's kind of who appears to be sort of second in command to the commander Sorbet. For one thing, now I recognize that voice actor from something else, but he just seems like, because he's the one who's actually asking questions and saying, you know, are we sure bringing back Lord Frieza is the best thing to do? I mean, it's just something really interesting about that guy. Like, I hope they take that somewhere, you know, and it develops into something instead of him just being like, you know, getting wiped out really easily by someone. I don't remember exactly what his role was in the movie or if he was even in it, because it's been a couple months since I watched it, but I like that guy. But yeah, so basically, you know, they summon the dragon. We already know what they want, what they plan to do. Now what's weird about it is that Piccolo and Gohan know what's going on, but nobody decides to fly over there and see. You think they would have taken off immediately and been like, maybe we should go fucking like check out and see who's making a wish here, because it's not any of us. You know, so it's got to be a regular random human being on a planet wouldn't know what the Dragon Balls are or how to use them. So you think they would have immediately like flew over there to see what was going on. But I guess they try to play it off in such a way that it happened so quickly that they couldn't do anything. But no, I mean, right before that, Piccolo said he sensed some bad energy. And then all of a sudden, the Shenron appears. So, I mean, it just seems like they could have done more in that moment to try to, they could have at least sought out to find a direction and maybe they just didn't get there in time or something. Because it's kind of a plot hole sort of a thing. Now, speaking of plot holes sort of things, the fact that we learn here, okay, that, you know, the Shenron can bring Frieza back because, well, Frieza's only died once. And, but he has to bring him back in the condition that his body was in when he was killed. Now, here's my question. I kind of remember maybe something like that happening before in the past. I remember, for instance, when Piccolo was brought back to life, they couldn't bring him over to Namek because he died. He was only able to be brought back to the place he was killed or something. But then again, that was a different dragon, wasn't it? Wasn't that Purunga, the Namekian dragon? This is what I'm talking about. They need to come up with some concrete rules here for these dragons, because there's a Namekian dragon and there's Shenron, and one grants more wishes than the other, or now Shenron grants three when he used to only grant one, and the powers are different. I don't know, but not that that's still a thing, because obviously we haven't seen a Namekian dragon since the Frieza saga. But it just makes things a little bit weird. But yeah, so apparently, you know, he can only bring Frieza back in the chopped up form that he was left in, because remember, Trunks sliced him up. Now, the thing is that not only did Trunks slice him into pieces, but he blasted those pieces into dust. So really, when he brought Frieza back, he should have been dust particles instead of just like these chunks of flesh. But okay. And then later on, when they regenerate Frieza, he comes back in his original form. His first form. The tiny, horned Frieza form. Not his final form. The form that he was in when he actually died. So, once again, you're kind of creating these plot holes with this kind of stuff. But I guess they wanted to say, well, we bring him back in his original form. Just so later on, when he becomes like Golden Frieza and all this shit, we have to watch him sort of evolve into that, or I don't know, but it's just something weird that I thought about when I was watching the episode. And of course, we get these other two really stupid ass wishes from Mai and the little dog, but I don't want to. There's too much focus on Pilaf on this episode, so there's nothing else to really. I'm just going to skip that. But yeah, so you know, they take Frieza's pieces up into the ship and successfully regenerate him. Okay, so they put him in. We do kind of learn that there are these newer versions of the regeneration tanks. Okay, which I thought was super convenient that they now had this thing that could just reassemble body parts. But when you think about the original rejuvenation tanks they had, remember Goku went in it, Vegeta went in it. This is technology that the Frieza Force actually has, so this is sort of the evolved version of it. I mean, how many years has passed since Namek? We know that it's been at least 9 years, I think, since the Buu saga. And I don't remember how many years it was between Frieza and Buu. So I guess it does, like, it makes sense that it would evolve that far along. So yeah, Frieza's back. He comes out in his full, you know, Frieza glory. We do get to see Vegeta and Goku one final time, just kind of saying, oh, you know, just kind of sensing this new sort of presence. This new evil presence, or yet a familiar evil presence. But that's about it. I mean, you know, the episode kind of ends with that. Frieza's back. If you've seen Resurrection F, you kind of know where some of this is going. But once again, it'd be very interesting to me to see what is done differently here. And that I'm excited about. And we'll find out pretty soon, because in a couple of days, the next episode will be out. I will try to be on time with this one, but I can't make any promises. But thank you guys for sticking around and listening and all that. Of course, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, etc., please, please, please head over to facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast. Give that page a like. I did make a new post on there recently. In case you aren't aware, I do make a post on there right after I put the episodes online. So if you're just kind of curious as to when it'll be up, go to the page. Make sure you like the page. Check it out. I do make posts. I'll post a screenshot from the episode with some text, and just letting everybody know the new episode is up. Now, it may not be up on every single outlet at that moment, right? Because what I've noticed is that iTunes is the first place it goes live once I send out the feed. And then Stitcher catches up, and then Google Play catches up, and then TuneIn. But rest assured that it won't be much longer after that post is up, the new episode will show up as well. So once again, don't hesitate to send me an email, rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. That about does it, guys. A little quick one here for you today. I didn't have any emails or anything in this episode. You know, it was kind of straight to the point, straightforward, not a lot to really dissect there. So I'm just going to end it here and say until next time for Rock the Dragon Podcast, I'm Tim Bridgewater, and I will see you next time.